May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So let me just give you some words about the incarnate Christ. Though he was 100% God, he lived on earth as 100% man, the second Adam. Not just to come and die on the cross for our sins, but also to show us what the new creation looks like, what a spirit-filled person looks like. The undoing of Adam's fall. This is from John chapter 4, in verse 34. Jesus said to them, his disciples, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." This is chapter 5, verse 19. Jesus therefore answered and was saying, in the language here, he was saying this repeatedly to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, unless it is something he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, these things the Son does in like manner. The Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing, and greater works than these will he show him, that you may marvel." So Jesus said, I don't do anything. I don't initiate anything. I only do what the Father's doing, and the Father loves me so much he always shows me what he's doing. Verse 30 of chapter 5, "I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me." So in his humanity, like, what postured Jesus to be able to always know what the Father was doing so that he could participate in it? What was it about Jesus? The Father didn't just show him that because he loved him as the Son of God. Jesus, in his incarnate state, says the Father loved him, always showed him what he's doing, just like us, but we don't always see it. We don't always participate and cooperate with it. Why? What was the difference? Because Jesus, in his humanity, he says, "I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me." It's really that simple. Jesus was that surrendered. So the Father loved him. The scripture says in John 17 that the Father loves us the same way he loves the Son. So he's always showing us what he's doing. He's always speaking what he's doing, but we don't always see it. Or when we do, we rationalize around it and don't do it. But the deal is that if there's a word key, I don't like that word, but to Jesus' walk incarnationally, as he always sought the will of the Father, not his own will. In John chapter 8, it says this. "I have many things to say to you concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and the things which I heard from him, these are the things I speak in the world." They didn't realize that he was speaking to them about the Father. And Jesus therefore said, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak the things as the Father has taught me. And he who has sent me is with me, and he has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." So when Jesus uses his terms that he's always with me, it's sort of a biblical phrase that he's always involved in what I'm doing. His activity is always realized because, again, Jesus only wanted to do the Father's will. So that in John 14, Jesus could say to his disciples, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." He didn't say he was the Father. He said, "But if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak of my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works." And so because Jesus was so surrendered, the Father was always revealing to him from the inside what we're going to do, what we're going to say. And Jesus, because he only sought the Father's will, said those things, gave voice to the Father. It was the Father doing them through him, Jesus said. And as Jesus participated in obedience, then his actions were the Father's actions. Now, I read all that to say this about the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit's the dynamic that makes that all work. In John 14, Jesus said, I'm the way and I'm the truth, I'm the life. He didn't say he was a truth, he's the truth. And we've talked about this before, that Jesus is the truth about everything. Doesn't mean he causes everything. You know, he's in the world, but Jesus is standing in every situation saying, what's the truth here from sovereign God's perspective? What's the truth? And so Jesus is the truth about everything. And nothing that happens changes the truth about who he is and who he is in us. No matter what happens in this next election, whoever you're for, it's not going to change the truth about who Jesus is. It's not going to change the truth about who he is in you. When he talks about the Holy Spirit, he says in verse 16 of chapter 14, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. In John 15, verse 26, when he, the helper, comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he'll bear witness of me. And then in John 16, verse 13, and when he, the Spirit of truth, that's the third time Jesus refers to him that way, when he comes, he will guide you into all the truth. Now, who's the truth? Jesus. He will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative. But whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come. He's not talking about the second coming. Just as the Father, who lived in Christ was in him, he was in the Father, was always teaching him, always revealing to him what he's saying, what he wants to be said, what he wants to do. It says here, the Holy Spirit living in us won't do anything on his own initiative. He'll speak what he hears from Christ who lives in us and reveal to us, all right, what's to come. Like in every situation, every circumstance, the Holy Spirit's going to be revealing what Christ wants to say, how Christ sees things, how Christ feels about things, what Christ wants to do. And they're all invitations for us to give him voice, to participate in his actions, so that we can truly say, in my union with him, it's Christ who does the works through me, just like Jesus said about the Father. Because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and he'll guide us into all truth, and he'll reveal to us what's to come, what you're supposed to do now, what you're supposed to think now, what you're supposed to say now. He shall glorify me, Jesus said. He will take of mine. And that translation would probably be more accurate, that he will take of me and he will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said to you, he'll take what's mine and disclose it to you. A little while and you'll no longer behold me, but again, in a little while, you'll see me. In what way? Because Jesus is going to be living in them by the Spirit. So again, all that is to say, how did Jesus live in his humanity? Well, his disposition was to not seek his own will, but to always seek the will of the Father. And the Father loved him, not because of that, he just loved him, but the Father who loved him was always showing him what he's doing, and because Jesus was totally surrendered, not demanding his own way, not demanding his own rights, he was able to see and hear what the Father who lived in him by the Spirit was up to. So much so that Jesus was constantly revealing the Father and could say in John 14, 10, it's not me, it's the Father doing the works through me. That's union being realized. Well, the same dynamic works for us. To the degree that I'm surrendered, Jesus loves me, he says in John 15, he loves me as much as the Father loves me. He loves me as much as he loves the Father. And so he's always wanting to show me what he's up to. He lives in me by the Spirit. He's always wanting to reveal to me what he wants to say, how he thinks, how he sees, always. And to the degree that I'm yielded to him, because if he wants to live his life through me, that can only happen through a yielded Chuck. And to the degree that I'm yielded, I can see what he wants to say, and I can see what he wants to do. And I realize that in my humanity, he simply wants me to participate, to say yes, and by faith say thank you, and then speak or act. Because the Holy Spirit said will guide me into all truth. And he's there to emphasize Jesus. because he only speaks in me what he's hearing. He's not doing anything in his own initiative either. He's the dynamic that makes this work. So an example would be, someone recently did something, nobody would know this, so it's nobody you really know, who just did something really boneheaded. And of course, I get to hear about everything everybody who's ever done anything boneheaded does. As if there's a sign on my back that says, tell me about everybody's boneheaded stuff. I guess that's part of the assignment. But because the boneheaded action impacted somebody that was really important to me, I realized I got all fired up about it, about what needed to be said to this person, yada, yada, yada. And that lasted for a while, for several hours. And I was actually walking across the parking lot, and the Lord said, so you're the first one who's going to cast the stone? Because evidently you've never sinned before. Oh, no. Oh, no, and oh, yeah. Oh, no, that I can't believe I missed it so quickly. I've been teaching this forever, but I missed it. So now what's happening? He's speaking in me, just like the Father spoke in Jesus. Jesus is now, by the Spirit, showing me what's to come, what I'm supposed to do. He said, you can stand from a distance and throw stones at this person, or you can step into their brokenness. And from that place, understand and love them more and be able to speak life into them. That's the way this thing works. That's the way Jesus lived. He said his sheep hear his voice. We really can't hear his voice that way. And the more you grow and walk in this, the more you even know what the word says, it all adds up because, of course, this is what we do. Because you've already forgiven this person 2,000 years ago, and you've been waiting around now for a few hours for me to participate in what you've already done so that I can love this person. Not that you're approving what they did. It was boneheaded. But Jesus said to the woman caught in adultery was pretty boneheaded, caught in adultery in a neighborhood full of Pharisees. And they wanted to stone him. They wanted Jesus to throw the stones, and Jesus wouldn't do it. And at the end, he said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. And it's only from that place of love can you say to a person, and you have authority, go and sin no more. There was another situation that happened, and it was one of those ministry situations. Wasn't the CC thing? Could have been. CC does a lot of boneheaded stuff too. But there was this situation. And it was just, and somebody sent me something about it. And when I looked at the little itinerary, all that kind of stuff, I thought, wow, that's just weird. And then, but they were looking for a response from me. And I couldn't figure out a way to respond without it sounding like I was being critical. And Jesus was, he won't criticize a brother or sister. Who am I to judge the servant of another? He just won't do it, ever. I can't find it in the scripture. It's not who he is. He honors. He washes feet. And so I, for 10 minutes, I kept thinking, how am I going to answer this? But I couldn't figure out how to answer it without it throwing shade of some sort on this thing. Even if I made a joke out of it, wow, yeah, that's kind of, boy, they're really about this, aren't they? I mean, I couldn't say anything without it being critical. Now, why is that happening? What was going on inside of me? The Christ who lives in me by the Holy Spirit was leading me into truth, into Jesus, going, we don't do this. And therefore, man, it would have been so easy for me. I've done that 1,000 times over the years, like just some little funny response. But it's actually a criticism, but it's you're not trying to be mean, but it comes across because you're sort of making fun of. And I thought, Lord, this is such freedom. But this is what the Holy Spirit does and how the Christian life works. If we'll just listen. But we won't listen if we're not yielded. As long as we have our own personal agenda. Remember, the Lord told me a while back, I said, Lord, what kind of rights do I have as a Christian? He says, hey, you have the right to feel what I feel, to see how I see, to think what I think, and to do what I do. Those are your rights. I thought, those are pretty good rights. But they're all his. In other words, I don't have any. But why would I want mine? That never worked out really well. I'd rather have his rights because that's life and life more abundant. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.